But first, can you believe that anyone would play this song at a funeral?
The club with his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is mean. That's entertainment.
Yes, that's entertainment, and that's what happens. That's what's played at a funeral in a new play by the Australian playwright and very experienced man of the theatre, Campion Descent. The show's called Unholy Ghosts, and it premieres tonight in Sydney, and it's an irreverent and heartfelt story that's based on Campion's own experiences caring for his dying parents. And I read the script, and it's full of pain and lots of wisecracking, and it's, well, it's complicated. It's very interesting. Look, let's just talk about it. Joining me from Sydney to chat about the show are Campion Descent. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. And the three actors who perform in your wonderful show, Anna Volska, hi.
Good morning, Michael.
Robert Alexander.
Hello, Michael.
And
how are
James
you?
James Lugton.
Hello there.
Welcome aboard to all of you. So just tell us briefly, Campion, what this show is all about, Unholy Ghosts.
Well, as you've hinted at, it's a tragicomedy, I guess, about the death of my parents. It's based on fairly truthful rendering of that, but albeit quite theatricalised. And I used that final months of their lives to look, that was the prism through which I looked at their kind of broader relationship and our place in it as children growing up with two rather, I guess you could say, a quintessential odd couple for
parents.
Yeah,
well, a very stormy relationship and in some ways an abusive relationship, I guess. I mean, they died within 3 months of cancer. But earlier, your sister had died of a pill overdose, and that's part of the story too. Was she a casualty of this tumultuous childhood, do you think, Campion?
Oh, undoubtedly, yes. I mean, it's interesting because, in a way, she was 2 years older than me, and I think that she bore the brunt of it, and she's kind of protected me a little bit, in a sense, so I got the second wave, and I think that's possibly why I managed to kind of skirt around and get through.
So what were the kinds of things that were happening in your childhood that made it just so terrible, so difficult?
Oh, well, look, I mean, I think that they were bitterly unhappy with one another. I mean, that didn't help, but they didn't do anything about it. They seemed to be trapped by that rather than going, well, look, this isn't working, we need to go our separate ways, they fell into that trap of We need to stay together for the good of the children. But as we know these days, that, you know, living in an unhappy environment is not necessarily good for the children anyway. So, and there was, along with that, there was also a fair amount of kind of alcohol abuse going on as well. So that made life quite interesting.
So Anna Volska, you're playing Campion's mother, who is a very eccentric character. And sort of, he makes her sound terrible. I mean, obviously it was a trauma being with her, but she is in other ways sort of quite engaging as well. How do you see her, Anna?
Oh, she's a force of nature. She's an enormous, enormous character. But, you know, the thing is, I think that we can, I mean, I certainly see my mother in her. And I think all mothers are larger than life, even if they're not as domineering as this particular, as Campion's particular creation. I have to call her creation because I'm sure she's not exactly his mother.
Well, you have to own her and you have to be the woman that you're playing. But, I mean, it just seems to me on the page anyway that, you know, at one moment she's a kind of Richard III monster and the next moment she's an adoring mother.
Can't she be both? Well, she can be. Well, she is both.
Well, that's what you've got to pull off tonight, basically.
That's right.
So, Robert, you're the father. Who's Campion's father, or the Campion's father, or at least the father in this play?
That's right, yes. I mean, it's interesting that none of the characters actually have names in this. They're just father, mother and son.
Yeah, so let's just say the father in the play. Who is he?
Well, he's a great grump. He spends his time fighting with his son throughout this play. There is a beautiful moment at the end when we're united just before I drop off the twig, but otherwise he's really very irascible and very rude, politically incorrect in the extreme.
Yes, off the scale, really.
Yes.
Meanwhile, James, you're playing the character who well, is the son, but he's very like Campion. I mean, if you know Campion, he's very like Campion.
Yes.
What's it like performing this role in front of Campion?
Oh, that's all right. Look, from the outset, Campion said, don't play me.
Right.
And so I just do what I do, and Campion sits up the back cringing.
and it goes its own way. Well, let's hear you do your thing. Campion, set up the scene for us, would you? What are we about to hear?
Well, we're about to hear the son recounting his father's death to the audience, and then we're segueing into an imagined whimsical moment between mother and father. It's sort of almost like a reunion in heaven, if you like.
And that, as they say, is that. His heart gives out, as doctors had warned me it well might, as my partner and I are driving back from Melbourne to see him. Near Gundagai, I get a call from the matron of the nursing home, an Asian woman, much to my father's chagrin, who tells me my father is sleeping and that they can't rouse him and I should hurry. It's a very ambiguous conversation. I ring back 10 minutes later and speak to the nurse in charge. Is my father dead? Yes. So he's not sleeping? No, he's dead. Matron doesn't like telling relatives that their loved ones have passed, so she says they're sleeping. So I sit in the car next to the dog on the tucker box and realise, after the calamity of the last 7 months and the domestic carnage of the 40-odd years prior, I am suddenly the last ratbag standing in a family of ratbags. Then we finish the drive to Sydney and Matron serves us high tea on a silver service as we sit beside my dead father. It isn't. I think back to a few days before and the terms of our tentative parting. It isn't much, perhaps, but it is something. And a sliver of closure when you stand at the precipice of the great unknown is better than nothing. From time to time, I fantasize about what might happen should they bump into each other in the afterlife.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, he walks into mine. Well, don't just stand there. I won't bite. Well, I won't leave marks at any rate. You actually look quite good.
Thank you.
For a dead salesman.
Where are we?
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Where do you think?
Ah, so this is where all the bloody money goes, eh?
Would you like a tour? It's free.
No, thank you. Nothing's free.
I see death has changed you naught.
Nor you. Open bar, is it?
In the name of God!
What?
You and I, this must stop.
How?
Must we go on and on and on, forevermore repeating... If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here, whilst these visions did appear, and this weak and idle theme, no more yielding but a dream.
Everyone admired your Ophelia, but your Puck was something else.
Give me your hands, if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends. We can do it. Come.
Where are you taking me?
To see our daughter, of course. Do keep up.
Yes, there you go. A scene of Campion Descent's, from Campion Descent's new play. It's called Unholy Ghosts. A scene where the parents are reconciled, I suppose they're reconciled, in heaven, and then heading off to meet the sister. We didn't say, Campion, that your mother was an actress.
Yes, we didn't say that. I suddenly realised that when
important
we were listening
to the part of the setup that we omitted to do, but... Yes,
hence the Shakespearean excerpts. And in fact, she did actually play Ophelia when, you know, on stage at one point during, I think it was in the Phillip Street Theatre, and back in the good old days of the Phillip Street in Sydney.
Now, I'd like to talk to you about how you approached writing this play, because here we are laughing about it, but obviously it's a difficult story, and I guess you wrote it because it was a difficult story that's got so much tragedy and pain in it. I'm imagining that most writers would have done more to disguise the story in some way, thinking about how you transform a very personal experience into a more universal one. But, I mean, as you've made clear, this is very close to your own story. You must have thought through that decision pretty carefully.
Yes, I think, to be honest, it was part of the grieving process for me. And I think when you're in that kind of state, you're quite raw and quite vulnerable. And I think it was the only way I could write it. And whenever I would try and cover up and hide, you know, certain things in it, I would strip those away and go, no, for my own sake, I'm going to go try and go right to the core of this and try and capture that, because I was hoping that that would give the piece an authenticity and an intensity. And I'm hoping that's what I've captured. I think if I sat down to write today, it would be a very different piece. I don't think I could capture that intensity that you get in that first year of great grief.
Yes, because I guess a listener listening to us talking could think the show sounds callous, but it's not callous. It's so intimate and so honest and so raw and so funny that you do feel as though you're taking us somewhere very intimate. I mean, the first 5 minutes of the play, the mother tells the son that the father is a chronic masturbator, a premature ejaculator, and she gets quite lyrical about it. I mean, was that the way your mother actually spoke?
Oh, yes. There are indeed, there are moments, and people that knew her well would say to me, oh, you know, what about this and what about that? She always used to say that, and she'd retell. They were like her set party pieces, and you'd just have to introduce my father into the conversation and
she'd be off,
you know. So they,
I promise you there's no depiction of that.
Well, hooray, hooray.
But I think, Michael, the other part of it for me was, and I know this might sound strange because, as you say, it could sound callous, but in a funny kind of way, I actually wanted to honour them. I wanted to kind of, you know, to distill their memory. And because I'm just a firm believer that, you know, we're all a mix. We're all a mass of contradictions and good, bad and indifferent. And that by pointing that out about people is in no way, from my way of thinking, being callous. It's actually acknowledging that complexity. And
well,
that
it's like...
You love that complexity.
Kevin, it's like the way you say of people you know well, oh, she's dreadful. You know, but it's an affectionate thing to say. Oh, she's absolutely dreadful. Because they're like that. They're just dreadful, but sort of marvellous on a scale.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what attracts us to these people, yeah. is that point of difference. And it can be very difficult sometimes to live with it 24 hours a day, but they're wonderful characters to encounter.
At one stage in the play, Campion, there's a comparison of your father to Willie Loman, the character in Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. And it just occurs to me, there's lots of American playwrights who have written about dysfunctional families. Are you conscious of entering into that tradition of 20th century plays about families that have deep difficulties?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, in fact, one of the jumping off points for this was, funnily enough, Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie. Because there's, and indeed, you know, there's so many, Eugene O'Neill and Arthur Miller, and I'm well aware of that tradition, and I kind of wanted to mine that to some degree, but also kind of make it fresh and new if I could, and put it into a kind of, obviously, an Australian context as well. But my family, Michael, was just too good an opportunity to pass up. Often with a play, you have to do months and months of research, and this research lived inside my body for, you know, 45 years. So I thought I'd be a fool to overlook that and not to mine that in some way.
Could you have written this while they were still alive?
Definitely not. In fact, I always thought, I didn't think hurry up and die, but I did think, I did think there is a play here, but out of respect, I need to wait and I need to be freed by that. I would, again, it would not have been the same play if I'd tried to capture that before their passing.
I was very pleased to read that your father said, Mrs. Kafoops, as in, who's going to do that for me? Mrs. Kafoops?
Yes, indeed, Mrs. Kafoops. And she lives in cahoots, according to Robert Alexander.
Well, I think it is an Australian term. I've looked it up on the book. There's something called the Macquarie Dictionary Word Map, which I've just discovered online. And if you know a word, an Australian word, you can log onto this word map, and you can register the meaning that you understand for a term, and then you can click on it and show where in Australia you've heard it. So they're kind of mapping language usage in Australia. And Mrs. Kafoops tends to be used in the southeastern corner, but since most people live in the southeastern corner, I don't really know what that tells you. But I love the idea of Mrs. Kafoops. If you've got a Mrs. Kafoops in your life, why don't you tweet? tell us about Mrs. Kafoops. So, Campion, as we wind up just a minute to go, is there anything in particular that you hope people will take away from the performance? How are you aiming to touch us here?
Well, I mean, I just hope that people will be engaged by it. I think it's a kind of a rip-roaring tale in a way, but it's also dealing with an issue that in some form or another visits most of us at some point in our lives. So in that sense, I think it's fairly universal. Mm. But, you know, I mean, you know, a laugh and a cry. I'm terribly old-fashioned and simple-minded when it comes to these things, Michael. A tear and a few belly laughs and I'll be a happy playwright.
Mate, I say that every morning as we go on air. I say, make them laugh, make them cry. That's what it's all about. Well, congratulations. I loved reading the script and I hope it all comes together for you because it's a wonderful script on the page. And well done, all of you. Chookers for opening night. It's tonight, isn't it?
It is. It's Friday.
Yes.
We have first preview tonight.
Oh, first preview tonight. Okay. Mm. Well, Chookers for the first preview. And thank you for coming in to chat on a morning when I know that you're all very busy. Campion Descent is the writer of the new play. It's called Unholy Ghosts. And the cast there, Anna Volska, Robert Alexander and James Lugton. The show's called Unholy Ghosts. I said that it's staged by White Box Theatre and Griffin Independent. And it's on now in Sydney.